Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Extraordinary Family Life Podcast.
Wait, the first episode of the new year.
Yes, happy new year to you, ladies and gentlemen. We had an absolutely phenomenal trip that we led for families right after
We had a
Christmas.
fantastic, phenomenal new year.
Yeah, it was incredible. Well, it's because so after Christmas, we had our group come and meet us in Lisbon, and then we went to Marrakesh, Morocco, and we spent a day there in that amazing city. And then we went out into the Sahara, way out. It was a long, long drive over
Yes.
the Atlas Mountains, but worth it into the
Well,
big,
and then
big
a
sand
long,
dunes.
long drive via four-wheel vehicle.
Yeah, across the desert. Oh, and all the different aspects of the desert. There's just the stone. There's just this miles of just rocks.
Well, because unlike what most people think, which I thought the very first time I went to the desert 9 years ago, was that the Sahara is all sand dunes,
Just
but
sand the whole
it's
way.
not all sand dunes. It's got clay and it's got hard dirt and it's got
Rocks
like
and
fields of
ravines and
rocks, which is weird,
then these bushes. There's these strange
little
bushes
trees
that the
and
camels love to eat.
yeah.
And
Camels eat very interesting things because
yeah, we
I
took
was
off our
shocked.
orange peels, and the guides were like, "Oh yeah," and the camels just devoured them. I
They
think
loved orange peels.
camels just have to be able to eat
Yeah,
anything.
I think so. I think they eat anything because they were eating like fir. There was some little fir trees out there they were eating.
This is
They were eating something to me looked like a succulent kind of, but
I mean,
they
think
weren't
about it.
eating
If
that.
that's if that's where you live, you
That's all
have to
that's available.
adapt to eat anything. Camels are strange, interesting animals. They're cool to be around. So then we went out there, but the big thing was we celebrated New Year's Eve and New Year's Day out there in a desert camp, playing on the sand dunes and the music and the food and the Berber, the Blue Men, and oh man, it was
Well,
just
and the other
awesome.
exciting thing for us is on New Year's Day,
Eve.
New Year's Eve day,
Well, it was right as the sun was setting. It
right
was
as the sun
perfect.
was setting, we went out and our guide had prearranged this whole thing where our daughter's boyfriend was going to propose to her. And so they had this whole traditional Moroccan proposal, not because either of them are Moroccan, but just because we were in the desert. And they had the camels there, and they had tea and Moroccan pastries and all of these gifts that they had prearranged for her, for him to give to her.
Couple of them were custom made
Yeah,
for
custom made
them. Oh, it was
shawl, a
so
custom made
amazing.
rug, and it was magical. Like it was just so, it was the most amazing engagement I've ever seen.
Even better than ours, which was
Which is not hard
pathetic.
considering.
Anything is above what I did.
was pretty special.
That was awesome.
And then yeah, then we drummed late into the night. I heard afterwards, because Greg and I barely made it to midnight, we were so tired. Because the previous night we'd slept in a very rough conditions in the desert, and
And it was
we were all tired.
freezing.
We were all exhausted. Many people went to bed and didn't
Well,
stay up,
what
but
was fun that night? It was, again, adventures are like this, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We'll have more stories, but adventures have like these highlight reels. And then what you might call the low light reels.
yeah.
And that first night, there was a one big tent they set up, and they just piled everybody in there. So we had 20 some odd people
But it was a
smashed into that tent, but it wasn't like fully enclosed.
Right, because you were in the corner right next
I
to the
slept
crack where.
purposely in the corner to block the wind coming in so I could keep my daughters warm. And so then we put the two little girls in between me and Rachel, and they slept perfectly
Yeah, they
all night
were
long,
right
nice and warm. And they were
there.
like, it was a great night. And we were
Pretty much everyone
golden.
else, though, was like,
Did
wow,
not
that
get
was a
much sleep.
long, cold night. In fact, there
Which,
was one kid who didn't even have a blanket. We all woke up
well,
and he'd
because
been.
he decided to stay out super late and he came in, didn't have a light, so he couldn't find where to lay down. And there was
Yeah.
two blankets just laying there unused. Oh man, but I love things like that. Even though it's miserable and uncomfortable, it's formative.
It totally is.
Most of the people that had come with us had never done anything like that. And
Right.
it was like this giant slumber party in the Sahara in one tent, and we all just froze our butts off and didn't sleep well. But I'm like, that, it's not pleasant. It's not comfortable, but that's the point.
Right.
You go out and you do something, and nobody comes back and is like, that was a great experience. They were like, whew, that was a doozy. But it actually makes the story.
Well, I mean, what you they did say it was a great experience, but they all recognized that there were certain elements of it like that were very challenging for a lot of them, you
Right,
know, like
exactly.
to have to endure a cold night in the desert.
And ride camels
Yeah.
and four wheel through, you got to four wheel through whatever the desert
It was a
offers.
minimum of 2 hours of four wheeling, which after a while, it does get very uncomfortable
Uncomfy.
for a lot of people. You're hitting your head, you're being jostled around nonstop.
Your organs are being
Yeah. Well,
vibrated.
and what I was going to say is, gratefully, the next camp we went to, which is a fixed camp, so it means that they've got us set up there permanently, it was much more comfortable. It
Oh,
was way
so
warmer. We
nice.
actually slept in beds. And everyone was eager to get to their beds on New Year's Eve because of that previous rough night. And so some of them went to bed. You and I stayed up because we felt the obligation of being the guides and having arranged everything. Like, we've got
At
to stay up.
least make it till midnight.
Right. So we did. We went to bed right after midnight. I heard from some of the group who stayed up until 1, 2, 4, that the guides were all up.
They
Like,
just
the
kept going.
guides were sandboarding at 4 a.m. Which I thought was incredible. Like, they grabbed the boards and went sandboarding at 4 a.m. whilst the rest of the group went to bed.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then they were also the ones up in the morning preparing breakfast for us and, just making a
Yeah,
great
those
day.
guys
They
are
did an
so
incredible job,
special.
Dar Sahara Tours. So if you want to go to the desert, go with us next time, but that'll be a couple of years. Go with Dar Sahara Tours because it was
They
incredible.
are incredible. Yeah, Mubarak. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was really special. So, our daughter's engaged. Our oldest daughter's engaged. That's a whole new adventure. And our next oldest son, well, both of our boys have girlfriends. It's a fun stage. Like, I don't know. I've enjoyed every stage of parenting, every
True.
last bit of it. And this one's just as good as the others. It's fun. It's fun watching your kids learn how to have relationships and watch how they just navigate that whole new change. And then just the prospect now of our kids starting their own families. Well, I'm most excited about grandkids.
Well, I have to share this funny story because directly connected to this, that when they got engaged on the dunes, and the Moroccan guides, they had this whole thing where afterwards they started playing the drum and drumming and then like doing their singing, and then they grab our hands and they pull us out, and we went over and danced over on the dunes as the sun is setting. Like, it was very picturesque, like from a movie, literally. And then after that, all of that, I was giving hugs and congratulations. And I gave a hug to my new future son-in-law. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a mother-in-law. And he's like, yes, and soon a grandma, And the funny thing to the people behind me, it sounds like, oh, she's already pregnant, which no, that's not the case. He just means they're eager to have children. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that is sobering as well that we could be grandparents within a couple of years. So
Yeah,
pretty
that's so
exciting.
exciting. So exciting. Well, we're recording this episode from a hotel in Casablanca, Morocco. And
Which was
at
not on
first,
our original itinerary.
when you first hear you think, I might think, oh, wow, it's
That's
so romantic.
awesome.
And you're like, no. No, it's not. We're not supposed to be here anymore.
We're
Because
not supposed to be in Casablanca. We actually didn't have
we
that.
never were going to come through here and stay. And we were supposed to be on our, all, most of the way across Spain on our way to
Well,
France.
okay, so essentially today's episode is going to be about how to deal with obstacles and disappointments for achieving goals, especially relevant for the new year, because hopefully you've all set some goals. I know I have. I've spent time setting my goals for the new year. Also especially relevant because we are literally, we've just started the new year. It's only the 9th. And we're already faced major obstacles.
Deep in our obstacles and right. disappointments.
Because our original plan had been, by now we would be home in Portugal. We'd be back home in Portugal. We were supposed to get home last night, which yesterday was our daughter's 17th birthday, not the one that just got engaged, our second daughter. And we were supposed to, for her birthday, okay, essentially we were supposed to leave on Sunday the 6th. We were supposed to drive to Tangier, stay the night. The morning of the 7th, we take the ferry back across to Spain. We drive to Granada. We go see the Alhambra. We stay the night in Granada. On her birthday, we were going to drive to Cordoba, which is another beautiful, gorgeous city we wanted to see for a long time. See that, then drive 3 hours home to our home in Portugal. Well, instead, here we are in Casablanca still. Because when we left Marrakesh on our plan, my car, we drove two cars, your Defender and my car stopped working. Started malfunctioning, everything.
On the freeway.
On the freeway, in the middle of nowhere. So long story short, we had to get towed 2 hours to Casablanca, and we have been here ever since.
Waiting
to get our car fixed.
Okay, I got to throw this in there because I didn't anticipate sharing this. So I have been studying French. And just a few years ago, I thought, you know what? I just am fascinated with French. I just felt strongly that I wanted and needed to learn French.
I think this is relevant. You really got into or interested in learning French the last time we lived in Morocco. Yeah. Like we lived here for 3 months. 8 years ago?
Yeah, so many years ago.
That's when you really wanting to learn French.
I want to learn it, but I didn't do anything for a few years. It was one of those, I would like to, right? One mm-hmm. of those. And they let that be a lesson for all of us. If there's something that piques your interest or something you want to do, just start on it. What you do daily will make a huge difference. And so finally, after, I didn't really do anything in earnest about French for a couple years after leaving Morocco. But then I thought, you know, no, I'm going to do it. So I started doing a daily, using an app for a few minutes every day. Right.
Duolingo, pretty much.
Well, I did memorize. I did single lesson and memorize first. And then once I'd done all those, then I switched to Duolingo and I kept going there. But just doing a little bit daily, it's not even the best way to learn a language. Mm-mm. I mean, you do that, you learn the vocabulary. The best way is to start reading books and start watching movies mm-hmm. and just spend hundreds of hours doing that in the language. So it was actually the slow way, but it was, I guess, my story. It was better than nothing, and it worked. It took longer, right? It took longer than
it
could have.
You did that for
have.
About 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And so then, so we're here now, and I'm having conversations. And what was fun, I enjoyed it. The whole bartering and tours and all the stuff we've done since we drove all the way across Morocco. And it's just been a blast. But in this particular instance, all the guys with the tow trucks, the mechanics, the taxis we had to take, all this, they did not speak any English or Spanish at all. None. Mm-hmm. And all of what we had to take care of, like, it was, you know, it wasn't just fun touristy, I would like to buy that rug mm-hmm. kind of interaction. This was like, look, how do we get our family from here to there? And how do we get our car fixed? It was all in French. And right. I was like, oh man, I am so grateful I learned French. We would have been in trouble.
Well, it reminds me of one of your favorite sayings that when the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. Like,
exactly.
You needed French yep. for us to even accomplish what we have so far with trying to get the car fixed. Yeah. Without it, we would have been in a lot of trouble because,
yeah. Well, the car broke down in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. It was like at least an hour and a half from Marrakesh and 2 hours to Casablanca,
yeah.
like we
and
were
there
in the
was
middle of
nothing
nowhere.
Out there. So
I mean, luckily there was a gas station, but that was it.
And you're like, you know, people are like, well, use Google Translate, which isn't always accurate.
The translation,
requires,
especially
yeah.
from English to Arabic
It's
is very.
so
I mean, we've
bad.
had a couple of experiences where I'm literally, they do it to me or I do it back, and I'm like,
Nope.
that
They
does
just
not make sense in whatever, yeah, whatever the translation is makes no sense.
doesn't
So
work.
doesn't work.
That's fun. Anyways, it's fun. And it's been awesome, been super helpful, and it just feels good and has fueled my fire to again master French. But then I'm gonna start learning. It's time for my next language. So I want to become fluent in a new language every 5 years. So it's time to dig in earnest, to really master it.
Okay, so but back to the thing that brings me back to our thing. So our original plan had us home tomorrow night. Well, because we just did a trip that was all about the alchemist, living your legend, following your heart, setting goals, all of us felt this desire to want to move ahead with our next big goal, which if you've listened to us at all, it's getting our chateau in France, right? And in fact, well, while you and I were in Scotland a few weeks ago on a couples trip, I looked up chateaus and we found one that could be the one, right? Because it had met all these specifications. Like it was the kind of style I wanted, it was in the location you wanted, all of these things. And so it was like the one where we showed to our kids and they're like, yeah, I love that one. I want that chateau.
We've been thinking about this for years, so we have
Yeah,
a lot of parameters,
exactly.
and we
And
found
this was one.
the potential.
So we all thought, well, why don't we just, we should go to France to see it. And then we have someone traveling with us, a young adult, and she said, well, why don't we just go now, right? Like when we get back to Spain, we're driving to Granada, which is the opposite direction from our house. Why not just keep going and go to France? And we thought, yeah, that's a great idea, right? Why not do that? So
So we're all just so
we leave
stoked. Let me get
Marrakesh with this plan in
fired up,
our
right?
mind. Like,
Yes, we're
yeah,
going to
we're gonna
France.
go to France. We're so excited. We're gonna go see our, like, we called the agent. We made these arrangements to go see the chateau.
And if you guys know
So
anything about
excited.
me, I'm a total Francophile.
Yeah.
I love all things France. So was just giddy with
Yeah,
delight.
we were
Anytime I
all
get a
just
chance
giddy.
to go back to the French Alps, I'm so thrilled, and here we
And
are.
then halfway to Casablanca, the car breaks down.
It's just the alternator. It's not a big of a deal, except when you're in Morocco, it turns out it's a huge deal.
Right. It's a huge deal.
Absurdly
Beside
expensive.
the fact, yeah, it's very expensive. Like at the Nissan dealership, it's like, oh, an alternator? It's $1,000
And you
and it
have
will
to order
take
it.
time to get here, you
And
know?
the reason the alternator went out is because there was a little oil leak. These are little details that don't matter, but it's just like putting it together. So it's one little hose, and I'm like, "Oh, well, we need to replace the hose." He's like, "Oh yeah, we can get that. It's 40 days." For what? 40 days?
Well,
Like, no, I need to go home, man.
yeah, and I think maybe even to bring more relevance to this, because you and I, we've talked about it before in our coaching, and we talk about it together. Like we always talk about there's the baby dragon. It's like the small problem, but if you don't take care of it, it grows into a bigger problem, a bigger dragon, right? And that's kind of what happened with this. This leak for this hose actually started back in Portugal, and but here's the irony. We tried to get it fixed and they couldn't find the part
They searched
anywhere
all of
in Europe.
Portugal.
All of Portugal, all of Europe.
Well, then I went to Spain. I'm like, oh, maybe we'll find it in Spain, because Spain's bigger, whatever. They searched the network. It doesn't exist in Spain. Like, this stinking hose cannot be found.
Right. So that's why you had created a, you know, a jerry-rigged solution. And it was working. And in fact, it worked all the way to the Sahara Desert
I'm back.
and back to past Marrakesh. But then, because of that leak, it had kept leaking onto the alternator and then finally fried basically the electronic system in my car. So our baby dragon grew into a bigger problem, which now
We are paying for.
we are paying for. But at the same time, and it's a good lesson because whether or not, you know, if you can take care of the baby dragon problem, it goes away and it doesn't grow into a big dragon. Sometimes you try to take care of it and you can't. And then, yeah, you still end up paying for it. And you have to realize that that's a part of life. Like, if you can't kill that baby dragon, it's going to grow up. And at some point, you're going to pay for it. And so that's where we're at now, realizing, okay, well, we couldn't take care of it then.
And yet, one of the poignant lessons for me is there's other things I could have done. I could have even jerry-rigging it better. I could have,
Right.
looking back now, hindsight, I didn't realize how significant the
It
problem
could
would
have
be
been.
has become,
Right.
and I could have done things differently. So again, this is a reminder, like if there's a little nagging issue in your marriage, with your relationship with your kids, in your health, in your finances, do not ignore those things. So I guess this is a good way to start the new year. In 2024, take a good, honest look at the irritations and the pain points
The
and
leaks.
the leaks. Where are the leaks in each aspect of your life? Where are the little monsters that they need to
Are
be
going
addressed? Yeah,
to,
they will be big,
and
ugly
here's what we have
monsters.
to remember. It's not that they might, they will. They are going to grow into bigger monsters. But I think for most people, they just think, oh, they'll go away. No, they're not. They're not going to just go away. And of course, we're using this as a metaphor, right? Whatever that little leak is in your life, it's going to keep dripping onto something and it's going to cause a problem. It's going to cause a breakdown. It's going to cause a collapse of something in your life. And so you can't just ignore those issues and think that they'll resolve themselves. They will not. And at some point, you're going to be paying for
It's
them. And
because nobody gets away with anything. And you see this, the great example of it is like small addictions or bad habits. They turn into ugly, destructive monsters. And is it disagreements or annoyances, or it's almost like a forced tolerance. So like, well, my wife will just tolerate this. She'll deal with this. She'll be patient. She'll understand. And it's true, like she does for a while,
But then
but
over
then
5, 10, 15 years.
it explodes, and then the divorce is so sad and so mean and so painful because those little problems grew into a big, big monster, and that's why it gets so ugly and so
Right.
painful and so hurtful. Because of the buildup of resentment or hurt or whatever it is. So
Exactly.
do not ignore the leaks in your life. Whew. So lesson number one,
Lesson number one.
look at the problems, look at the seemingly little problems in your life right now that have to be addressed, and do not delay anymore. Don't procrastinate. Don't put them off. Do not, what's the word? When you just make them seem small,
Minimize them,
yeah,
maybe.
don't minimize them. Do not minimize them. Realize like, hey, this is a serious thing. It can turn into a big, big problem. And I know, I could probably be bold enough to say that every single one of you listening to this has something in one aspect of your life that you know already is problematic, and it's going to be a bigger problem, and it has to be addressed. So even if you only did that. Let's say you took 2024 to fix the leaks in your life. If you only did that, it would be such an awesome year. Not that you'd feel like, oh, I made all this progress or you did all these things. What you did is you stopped the leaks.
You prevented a lot of
Yeah.
problems,
So
and that's a big deal
it's
too.
huge. I mean, because it goes out for years, then decades, and maybe even generations, where you stop a leak, you stop a problem that maybe you actually inherited from your parents or your wife's parent, your spouse's parents or whatever, right? If you stop a leak, you wouldn't look back at the year and be like, whoa, look how far along we came. But the stopping of problems would be a monumental year.
Yeah, it would.
But then it goes on, going on with a metaphor, like let's say you have a bucket and it's the bucket of your dreams and you're trying to fill that with water, but it's just full of, your bucket's full of holes. And so it just keeps leaking out. And so you don't make any progress. Maybe you didn't make enough progress last year, the last couple of years, because these leaks, these problems, these pain points keep coming up, and they become such a disturbance in the force that you don't feel like you're really living.
Well, I think especially related to goal setting, so many people talk about, oh, I hate setting goals because I don't achieve them or I just end up disappointed or this or that. And I think the point many people miss is that they don't realize in order to achieve that goal, they have to plug the leaks in the bucket first. They don't see, unfortunately, I don't know why, they don't see that that's a direct connection. You can't fill your bucket with dreams, right? We're going to use this analogy, if you've got holes in it.
Yep.
And then they don't see the filling of the holes as progress towards their dreams. And so like we talked about before, if you spent the whole year filling the holes and stopping the leaks, at the end of the year, you might not feel like you've made progress towards your goals, but actually you have, because you now have a bucket that can actually be filled up.
Exactly. So then anything you do from there on out is
filling
really,
the bucket.
It's really quick, effective progress.
Right.
Exactly. Like, wow, look how fast we're moving towards our goals. I don't want to emphasize this. This is huge. If there's holes in your life in any aspect, it feels like any progress is so hard, so slow, so much effort, because you really aren't making progress, because you're just losing too much. Whereas once you as a person, that mind, body, and spirit are whole, and then your marriage is whole, your relationship with your kids is whole, you start getting this wholeness, then progress is so quick and so easy.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, well, how did this happen? How is it that in the last 6 months we've made all this progress, when the last 6 years we went nowhere?
Right.
It's because of this very thing.
Exactly.
It's so powerful, so profound.
But I think what people do is that they don't notice that that is progress. And so they look at what they've done and it feels like, because filling a hole is, you know, if you've got a hole in the ground and you fill it up, well, now you're at ground level and you think, man, I haven't built anything, right? We're still at ground level, but it's still a very important part of the process. And so when people set a goal and at the end of the year, they haven't achieved it because they haven't built what they wanted to build, if you filled those holes, you have made progress. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn to recognize that, okay, I didn't actually achieve the thing I wanted, but I have built a better foundation in order to build on, in order to achieve that.
And it's an interesting thing, because there's nothing really sexy about fixing your problem.
No.
Right? You're like, no, I want to take that dream trip. You're like, well, guess what? That dream trip will never be dreamy if you're still fighting with your
exactly.
spouse.
Exactly. It'll just be miserable.
It'll be very expensive misery. Right?
Exactly.
And so you're like, no, you got to fix the problem. And so like, you want to build your dream house, right? But first you have to like fix the plumbing problem and the electricity. And we want to skip it. We're actually just talking about this with our kids, because this dream chateau.
Sorry, I'm having trouble with the connection.
Siri's talking to us. We don't know why. So like, we want to build this dream castle, this chateau of ours, because it's going to be this retreat center where people will come for like transformation. We're going to host
retreats, youth retreats,
couple retreats, men's retreats, families retreats, like everything inside and out, from the animals in the gardens and the greenhouses to the like paintball arena, to inside. And we have a massive private library and a music room and an exercise room, a dance room, a craft room. We're going to have, like, this place is going to be for healing and transformation. It's going to be spectacular. But the one we're looking at, they started construction in the year 900, right?
Well,
something like that.
That's what it says on the listing. 950.
Like, was when they started.
I don't know if that's when someone built the first little.
The first little thing
on the
there.
Property?
But whatever.
Although, like, I think the official construction date for most of the building is sometime in the
15th century.
Yeah.
So the point is, and we were talking about this, kids, like, well, we're going to have to put in some electricity and plumbing, and there's going to be some ugly, dirty work, right? And that's the point. There's nothing sexy about that. It's
right.
actually quite irritating.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ah, oh, this old, and there's nothing there. But that has to be done until you make this gorgeous room. And if you don't do the dirty work, the unsexy work,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, you know, I don't want to do that. And so you come in and you hire some, I found my woodworker. He lives in Meknes, Morocco. I'm going to hire him to come over and just do this unbelievable wood ceiling and room and inside the office or library. But if I just have him come over and do that, after he's done, we're going to have electrical problems.
Right.
And plumbing problems. And all kinds of problems. You're like, no.
It's beautiful, but not functional.
Yes, exactly. It could be beautiful, but like completely unfunctional. So you're like, oh, great. I can't even plug in a lamp in here.
Right.
So now we don't have light. And, oh, I need to charge my, I can't plug in my computer. Like, exactly. You'd end up with all these problems because you didn't do the sexy stuff.
The unsexy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The unsexy stuff. The unattractive, the unpleasant stuff. But it has to be done. Quick side note, you guys, I'm going to start teasing this out there. We're going to talk about more. We're actually looking for investors, people who want to invest in this project, and donors, and even there'll be opportunities to come help. There's going to be some of you will be like, yes, where do I sign up for that? Where you come stay with us.
I think especially for youth too, because our teens will be there working on the project. And we've had many teens come and stay with us before in different experience, you know, different places around the world. So this will be another type of experience where you can come stay, work.
Well, yeah. And as if we've told this dream over the years, we've literally had hundreds of people say, as soon as you get it, like, let me know. I want to come. I want to be a part of this. Well, we're going to transform the place so that it can then transform lives.
Exactly.
It's the place is going to have a life of its own. It's going to go through its own hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyways, so we're just throwing that out right now. And so you guys, we're looking for investors to come in. We're looking for donors. We're looking for volunteers. Anyways, it's exciting. The dream is.
So that being said, you know, this is how we're beginning our new year. Excited about this, moving forward. We're like, yeah, that's it. We're going to France so we can, you know, get started on making progress. And then here we are recording this podcast stuck in Casablanca. And in fact, even last night, like we had checked into a place for 2 nights because the guy was like, yeah, I'll have it fixed for sure by noon on Monday. And 7 o'clock last night, we were still sitting outside of his, we had checked out of the hotel at noon, and we were passing the time all day doing random things, like laying in a random forest in Casablanca that
we just
found.
Had to get out of the city.
Yeah.
So and to a dirty old forest, but it was nice.
Dirty forest. And we were sitting outside, and he had made progress, but finally said, electric system has to be.
I got there, and he's like, I got this. You guys are going to be out of here in an hour. Yeah. I mean, he's a good guy, and he's super helpful. And this is all in French, by the way.
Yeah.
And French is a second language, so it's a little bit.
For both of you, second language.
And so, but he was so confident. He's like, yep, you guys are driving away today. And so we keep changing our plans just a little bit, like, oh. He's
like rescheduling the ferry that, you know, we were supposed to leave at 9 a.m. this morning. Right now, we'd be on the ferry.
Oh, by the way,
we had to reschedule that.
We lost all of our tickets.
Money.
We lost all our money in
the Alhambra. We lost, you know, we had pre-purchased tickets for the Alhambra and lost that. We had paid for an Airbnb in Tangier and we lost that. So, you know, we've lost money on this, besides the fact that we had to pay for the tow truck. And now we've had to pay for 3 extra nights in hotels.
For 10 people.
There's 10 of us, right? We're traveling with friends. You know, there's a lot of expenses going in. Besides the $700, he's able to get us the alternator for $700 instead of $1,000.
We'll see what his final bill is.
Where, you know, I think in Portugal we could get it for maybe like 100 euros or something. But so there's a lot of extra expenses here that we didn't plan for and are not in our mind helping us get closer to our dream, right? It's just a roadblock. It's just a interruption. It's
and
an obstacle.
When it happened, we were just like, you know what? Let's just leave. Like, we'll rent a car. We'll just go home. And I'll fly back
later
and get
the car.
I'll just leave it behind. I'm just retarded. And Hetty said, oh, no, it'll be a week. We would have. We would just back. Just
we would have.
Gone. Let's get out of here. Buy some flights. Rent a car. Whatever. Get.
Just get out of here.
Get to another country. But he kept saying, oh, no, just a few hours, just a few hours, just
right.
a few hours. And so it's dragging it out. And life is like that. I've been thinking through this particular situation. I'm like, okay, well, like, how can we handle this differently? Like, we could all just get on a flight and leave.
Well, I even
or
said.
Or we could just outsource. We could hire someone. But what's interesting is the car's in your name. And so because it's a border crossing, you can't outsource that. Like, we couldn't hire a driver. In fact, I was like, why don't you guys all just go? Just go home. I'll stay here. I'll find a little place. And when I'm done, I'll drive it out. I can't.
Because it's in my name.
Yeah.
So you're like, I have to be there.
And I was even thinking, I'm like, okay, let's throw down some serious money here. We just throw down some money just to make this problem go away. You can't.
There's not many options.
Money wouldn't fix the problem that you, Rachel, have to be the one to drive that car across that ferry.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man.
Well, I even said last night, because we checked into this hotel, which is, it's an okay hotel.
It was supposed to be nicer than expected, which is another lesson. There's been a lot of supposed to be nicer than expected.
We checked in around 8 p.m. And I thought, another irony, because if only we had known the car wouldn't be done, right? The place we had stayed in the previous two nights was very nice. I mean, it was very comfortable. It had everything. It was two apartments for all of us.
Fantastic.
We had kitchens. We had washers. And it was cheaper than here. And so, last night I'm frustrated, standing in the shower thinking, if we had only known, we could still be in that nice, comfortable space and had spent the day instead of trying, killing time, trying to find something to do while we waited. We could have been there doing our studies and doing work and being productive. And instead, in the hopes of getting it done, so that we could still drive to Tangier, so we could cross the first thing this morning, so we could then still maybe go to France, fingers crossed. Instead, it was what now feels like wasted time, and yet that's life. That's what it's like when you pursue your dreams.
Irritating. Have you guys experienced this? Those of you listening, have you experienced like that irritation where, you have to check out. Of where you're staying.
We had to check out at noon.
And there's like, have you ever been stuck somewhere where there's not really much to do? Because what do you do with all your stuff and all of your kids? And there's not much, like if there was a cool aquarium or a great beach or a beautiful forest or like something to do or somewhere to go that's just good for a family. And this has happened before to us. Like you end up somewhere where you're like, there's nothing to do and there's nowhere to go.
Uh-huh.
So then we're like, oh, well, let's go to a nice restaurant. So we paid way more than I would have liked to for a restaurant that honestly was disappointing.
It was a very nice setting. The food was not.
Yeah. You throw down, like, okay, let's at least throw down some money to get some good food. We'll have a nice, slow, long, comfortable lunch. You know what? You're going to charge that, dang it. Make it good.
Do you know what was so funny is our youngest daughter, she's 7. We started the morning in the nice apartment we were in. And, she's basically just in her own world anyways. And she's there and she's drawing. She spends the morning drawing, right? And then we're packing everything up while she's drawing. And then we're loading everything up and then even when she gets into the car, she's still doing these drawings. And what she had been drawing was all these emoji faces.
She took one full sheet of paper and drew out all the
emojis emotions she could think of. And I'm like, you know what, Sanji? That's a good drawing for today because it's going to be one of those days. It's going to be a multi-emoji face day. And it was, And towards the end of the day, we're still sitting in the car and she's like, I'm bored. I'm like, well, you did draw that emoji on your sheet,
That's how she was expressing herself yesterday. It was so cute. She's like, I'm this right now because they are taking too long.
Right. And so it was one of those emoji days, right? And so it is. It's just so fascinating. And I think the point of us doing this episode now is to share with you. Yes, we pursue big dreams. Yes, we have achieved lots of big dreams. But every single time.
Last week we did
an amazing thing.
Bucket list stuff.
Right. I mean, really? Yeah.
And this week, we're frustrated.
But this is part of it.
Yeah.
Every single time we've encountered something akin to this. Not exactly like this. Not always as frustrating as this. But pretty similar. Be like, it's just a part of the experience. It's just a part of the journey. If you think you're going to pursue your dreams and achieve them without having obstacles like this, you're mistaken, because it's going to happen.
Right. And it's better, I think, if you just anticipate, right. Hey, some things won't work out like we planned. Even as you could plan everything under the sun, and some things just won't work out.
Exactly.
And if not in a negative way, like, oh, it's not going to work out. I told mm-hmm. you it's not going to work out. Not like that. But just like, hey, there will be hiccups. So every time we've done a big overlanding trip, and we've driven many, many tens of thousands of miles. Mm-hmm. Every time there's an overlanding trip, something's going to go off with, like, a vehicle or a border crossing or whatever, something. Mm-hmm. But then we've done massive trips where it's planes and ferries and buses and, did I say trains? And trains mm-hmm. too. Well, you're going to miss a flight, or you're going to miss a train,
or something's going to be delayed. Or there's going to be,
canceled flight, delayed flight, whatever, and you miss your connection.
Right.
So whatever form of travel you pick, it's just a matter of time and
probabilities.
Something's not going to work out like you planned. So how, anticipating that, those scenarios, and then how you handle them,
well, I think it's a very big deal. Yeah, I think at the very least, when they happen, if you have, I think what, to me, anticipating it means that when it happens, I think, oh, okay. This is what they were talking about. Yeah. This is the thing. Like, this is the thing that goes wrong when you know things are going to go wrong. Which, you know, I'm honestly grateful for most of our trip that we were leading for our group. Like, okay, there were still some things that went wrong, but it was overall pretty amazing. One of the things was we had hired some drivers to take us over the Atlas Mountains. And so we're driving, and one of their vans breaks down. We're like, what the heck?
Mercedes.
I know, Sprinter van, 12-passenger
van. Boom, dies.
Dies, and we're like.
In the Atlas Mountains.
Really? So we had to try and figure that whole thing out. And then
the next man gets in an accident. He runs into the guy in front of him.
Right? And we got stopped by the cops twice. And we were like, wow, okay, this is quite the drive, you know? So things go wrong, but I'm grateful it didn't go more wrong.
Right. Had our car die in the Atlas Mountains.
Yeah.
That would have ruined the.
Absolutely. So that's a huge blessing that I'm very grateful for. It did not happen. Right. Luckily, it died after the trip. Not.
Yeah. We take all of our guests and send them off and bon voyage. And then.
That's the good time for it to break down, because it could have happened while they were still there. And that would have been worse.
So a couple things we've observed over the years of working with thousands of people across five continents is that some people just have not developed the capacity to handle disappointments and setbacks and obstacles. They just crumble. And so one of the reasons for this episode today is just to have you take a look at yourself and be like, are you one of those people that when something goes wrong, like, what do? Do you implode? Do you explode? Do you just sink into the pit of despair? Like, what do? How do you handle it? Mentally, emotionally, socially, physically, what do?
You when
you
slump said,
your shoulders and drop your head. My life's so bad.
When you said, do you explode? I thought yesterday very vividly of, we were trying to find the nice restaurant we went to that was not the great best food. And we passed this accident that had just happened where a car ran into a motorcycle, I think. And all of the people that were involved were standing there yelling at each other.
Like, as loud as they were. Like,
there's some exploding.
What's this here? And so you have to know you and realize, like, what's your tendency and why? And for me, because I used to be an exploder, I had a crazy temper. And when things went wrong, man, I would just lose it. But I started to ask myself, does this serve me? Does it help the situation? I mm-hmm. could get angry. I could yell and scream. I could get discouraged or depressed or anxious or fearful or whatever. But does it serve me? Is it helpful? And it's generally not helpful.
Right. I think that one of the reasons that we've been able to handle this situation for the most part pretty well, at least mentally, emotionally, is that we've had a lot of practice, right? You know, we've had plenty of missed flights and horrible border crossing. Like, we've gone through this type of thing so many times, I think we've forgotten all of the times we've experienced it. And so we've gotten to a point where when it happens, we no longer waste time and energy on that because we've realized it's useless. Like, if we waste time and energy on just being upset, not that there's no frustration or irritation, there is, but instead of wasting energy on really like feeling that strong emotion and like, I don't know, being crazy like people do, we now just go into what's the next thing we can do that's actually going to help. Like, how do we actually solve the problem? We go into problem-solving mode. And our son even pointed that out, you know? I mean, he's 19, our oldest son, and he's like, that's what we just, that he's, he has learned and adopted that as well. Like, we just have to go into problem-solving mode. How do we solve this problem? What is the next best action we can take? Besides the fact that we're mentally working through, it's not just the first level thinking, it's first, second, third level thinking. Like, okay, if we do that, what does that mean? And what does that decision lead to? And we're working through all the potential problems and options and opportunities so that we're not only making a decision that's good for now, but that's also good for tomorrow and the next day, right? Like, that helps us in getting what we want. And so that's a huge skill that we've gained by having experienced so many obstacles and challenges in our life, that it's improved our ability to make decisions. I think we're really good at making decisions now because of all of those. And so,
well, one of the things we were doing is, and I know some of you listening are like asking, okay, well, how do we do this? And one thing we do is like, let's play through potential scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great decision-making framework, because if you think, okay, no, we're going to do this. Well, hold on, before you get married to that one option, or, you know, paint yourself into a corner. Say, well, okay, this could happen, or this could happen, or this could happen. You start thinking through, well, what would I do in each of those scenarios? Right. What are the potential outcomes, and what would I do? And you start thinking through that, and you go into kind of a, let's find solutions that take the next best action.
Right.
Best action.
Which, but even yesterday, I mean, we had, one of our potential solutions was to stay the night again in Casablanca, although we had all, you know, crossed our fingers that wasn't going to have to happen, especially because he was so optimistic about getting it done, that it was a disappointment when it finally happened. But it was also not unforeseen. We foresaw that as a potential.
Yeah, exactly. And that was super helpful. Like, okay, in all reality, we could get to the end of the night and he just says, no, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So then what are we going to do then? That was one of the things we literally talked through.
We'll stay again.
So we did it. And so do that. And don't, like, some people just, they handicap themselves or cripple themselves or just collapse. And it actually makes their problems worse.
Absolutely.
So many people kind of self-sabotage. And they make their problems far worse than they are. And they make finding solutions harder than they are.
Besides the fact,
keeping their crap together.
Right. Besides the fact that they make themselves unpleasant. And I think right there, it's just coming to me. That's one of the, another major benefit of the way we've been able to handle this problem is that all of us feel great. I mean, we're still enjoying each other's company. We're still laughing about the situation. Yeah, I feel frustration and irritation, but not in a way that it's affecting my relationships in a negative way. Like, our relationship is still great. Our relationship with our kids is so great. We're not snapping at the kids and yelling at them and getting angry. Like, none of that's happening. We're just still having a great time, right? That's, we're still having fun.
That's so important. There's no regrettable behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is huge, because usually when people get into situations, they end up saying or doing something that is regrettable and painful, or that leaves a scar or a wound, or requires apology and forgiveness. Like, you start hurting your relationship of a frustrating situation.
Yeah. Which, you know, that we don't have any of that because we are able to work through it together in a way that actually, in a way, it's actually bonding us even more. Like, we're able to go through this challenge together, having a good time, and strengthening our relationships even more, where it literally would be 10 times more miserable if all of us were grumpy and upset and like,
that makes it so bad.
That would be even worse. Yeah, you know,
poor behavior makes it so much worse.
Yeah. I can't even imagine how much worse it would be if you were all bent out of shape and like being so, you know, like a jerk, and then I'm yelling at the kids. Like, that would just be even
more horrible. I could be treating the mechanic like crap because, you know, he didn't do what he said or didn't get it done. I could be yelling, screaming, slamming doors. I could be losing my temper with the kids and you and everything. And the guy at the hotel, like, where I could be
just... although I was a little frustrated last night because we get here and they make us fill out all of our passports and everything.
This place required more information than I've ever given anywhere in 60 countries. It was unbelievable. But I was like, no, whatever. I'm going to keep it cool. It's not this guy's fault. He's just working here. Okay, a couple of things I want to share. One.
Well, I want to add one more thing to this that I think is important to bring up. Because the other thing we have seen people do or think or say or believe when obstacles come like this is, oh, I guess it's not meant to be. I guess God doesn't want me to do this thing. I guess, you know, I'm not supposed to have that.
We shouldn't travel anymore.
I guess we shouldn't. Yeah, people will go to that extreme too. See, we shouldn't even travel because it's just a pain. Things go wrong, right? Like, why would we do that? And those are the wrong conclusions. In fact, I very much believe that these types of experiences are actually a test to see how much you really want what you're after. Now, that being said, are we still going to France? We don't know. Because one of the major problems is whether or not they actually got the part that was leaking, right? And ironically, our mechanic in Portugal found the part that we were looking for right before we left for Morocco. So if they don't have it here, we're going to jerry-rig it again. Since we've got the alternator replaced, drive back to Portugal, straight to Portugal, and then now get that part and installed. So, which means we're not going to France at this time. If he has the part, I don't know. Maybe France is still on the table. We don't know. But the point being, if it's not on the table now, it will be later in the future. We have a trip to Kilimanjaro coming up, so we're going to have to work around that schedule because that's in February. But we're not just going to say, oh, we're not supposed to have a chateau. We're not supposed to live in France because we broke down in Morocco.
Or it was a bad idea to overland through Morocco.
Yeah.
Because things didn't work out and cost us days and money.
And lots of money, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I say that facetiously, like, oh, why? But I know, really, when it comes down to it, that's not what it means. It just means this is a part of living life.
Yep.
This is a part of pursuing your dreams. This is a part of testing you to see what kind of character you have and what kind of determination you have to actually still accomplish your goals and, if possible, do it with a smile as much as you can.
And obviously you could argue that, like, you know, okay, cars break down whether you're at home or abroad.
I'm like, I bought the wrong car.
and you could be like, well, yeah, it's so much easier at home because I have my mechanic and my parts. It wouldn't be such a big deal. And we yeah, you're right. So had this happened at home, we wouldn't have been stuck somewhere for days in all this trouble. It's true. But we also wouldn't have had the experiences we did.
Right.
And created the memories we did. Mm-hmm. And like literally bucket list adventures. We wouldn't have had those because we would have been, you know, worried about a little more convenience and a little less money.
Right.
And it's worth it. So a couple things I wanted to share, just tactical stuff that I would have been using for years to kind of reset and handle things. Number one is just, you got to keep perspective. And I always keep perspective by contrasting bigger things. So luckily it was beautiful how this happened. You know, right after it happened, we were frustrated. We realized there's a pain. We towed the truck or the car, and all of our plans are shut down. And we're just like, oh, it's so irritating. Like, well, let's head to the grocery store and then head to the Airbnb. And on the way, we drive past a dumpster, and there's a homeless man digging through the dumpster looking for food. And right as we're pulling or driving nearby, he finds.
I mean, this happened within 2 seconds.
Yeah,
you saw.
It was fast, and he finds a bottle of milk. You can tell it's a milk jug, and obviously there was something in it because he pulls off the lid and he chugs whatever was left in that jug. And that happened just a few minutes after leaving the mechanic, where we just dropped off
moments
the car.
Before we get to the grocery store to load
Which
up on whatever we wanted.
Unbelievable grocery store.
Very nice, but very luxury, huge.
At everything. We went in there and just splurged on everything, drowning our sorrows with French pastries.
Exactly.
but the contrast was massive, where there's this man who's getting his meal from a dumpster. And it put our problems in perspective. And I thought, man, even if we just lost the whole car and it was just gone, like, we're not looking for food in a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever your problems may be,
they can always be worse.
Yep, they can be worse in a very real way. These are Mickey Mouse problems.
Mm-hmm.
We're not searching in a dumpster for food for ourselves or our family. So that's one way, just keep it in check. It's a reality check. Then the next thing I do is it's like Rachel said, you just jump in a shower. Just take a shower. Get a workout. Do some push-ups. Go for a run. Some of you need a hot shower to reset. Some of you need a cold shower. I think for Rachel, the nice hot shower mm-hmm. is a reset for you. For me, it's the opposite. It's a cold shower. Right? 60 seconds in a cold shower, I'm thinking differently. It's just a reset. Like, whoa, okay, holy cow, let's go. A little time in a great book, either an audiobook or an actual book. A little time journaling, writing, just processing. Have these good habits, and you should be doing them daily so they're maintaining. But when you get in a funk, when you get upset, when things get thrown off, just stop and do some good things. Now, you're not likely to feel like doing them. You're not going to want to. Like, I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like taking a shower. I don't feel like working out. I'm angry.
Well, I did.
That's
and
the
I,
point.
I felt even last night I had so many excuses to not take a shower because most of my bag is buried in the back of the Defender and we didn't unload it, so I just had minimum stuff. And like, there's always reasons not to. You can talk yourself out of it. But I'm like, I know for me, taking a hot shower will help me feel better. That's what I'm going to do, right? And luckily, there was hot water. And that's a good thing.
Which isn't always
sometimes
option.
There's cold water, and then I'm even more
even
frustrated.
In the nicest places. We rented some legit.
Oh
huge,
yeah, we stayed in a really
luxurious
nice place
places.
In Marrakesh. Two of them before and after the trip, and the one it had like solar powered hot water. And when we were there, it was like cloudy, and so
there's no hot water.
We're
staying in this palace, and there's no stinking hot water. So whatever, things will happen, but. Get back to the things that help you reset. And again, good
for
workout,
me,
good breathing session, good food, a good book, journaling.
Even this morning, I have this great planner, and this morning I got in it, and I just even looking at, okay, this week, what do I want to do, what I want to work on, and especially when in the context of, okay, no matter what happens, what are the things I can do this week? That was helpful to me because I'm able to be like, okay, yeah, maybe I can't control all of these other circumstances, but I can still control certain things. I can still listen to some audiobooks, and I can still do some yoga, and I can still, and that mindset of I can't control everything else, but I can control certain things and let me do those things, that helped me feel better. Just thinking about what I was still in my control to be able to do to make progress on my other goal.
Huge. That's a phenomenal mental practice. What? Because when some things feel out of control, like, getting the car, it's out of our control right now. When some things are out of control, you focus on what's in control. When some things go wrong, don't focus on what's gone wrong. Focus on what has gone right.
And what you have control over helping go right.
Exactly. What you're frustrated about versus what you're grateful for. Like, okay, this went wrong, but what do we still have? What do we still have to be grateful for? And in our experience, there's always way more to be grateful for than to be mm-hmm. upset about. There's actually way more that we have control of, ironically, than we don't.
Right.
And we can shift our perspective and stay in a good state and recover and get back in the direction of our dreams and our goals in our life and being the best version of ourselves. So love you guys. Thanks for listening. Keep going. Keep perspective.
Keep pursuing those goals.
Yeah. Be the best version of yourself. Reach upward.